KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A fast-moving wildfire raging out of control in Southern California. Thousands forced to flee Ventura County. ABC's Mola Lenghi is there.
Dry conditions and those intense Santa Ana winds fueling the fire. Wind gusts getting up to 80 miles per hour. Fire officials hoping that slightly lighter winds today may help them get the upper hand. But make no mistake, the winds remain a concern for the fire crews on the ground.
14,000 acres have burned so far in Ventura County. President-elect Donald Trump working on his transition for another term in the White House. He has been meeting with advisors on what the next Trump administration might look like. Robert F. Kennedy and Elon Musk, both seen as likely candidates to play key roles. President Joe Biden preparing to address the nation shortly as the Democrats work to rebuild certain aspects of the party following Kamala Harris's loss on Tuesday. And the Federal Reserve is expected to cut a key interest rate by another quarter point this afternoon. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Despite a few hiccups like needing to recount 30,000 ballots in Milwaukee, the Wisconsin Election Commission says Tuesday's election was safe and secure with no major issues reported. On Wednesday, WEC officials reminded residents that the election is technically not over, as the official results still need to be verified and certified through the canvassing process. The numbers residents see now are unofficial results with votes that have been counted but not verified and certified. The deadline for the chairperson to certify the election is December 1st. Tuesday's election saw the highest number of voters in Wisconsin state history. According to the unofficial results, about 3.4 million people cast a ballot in the 2024 presidential race. That's equivalent to about 72.6% of eligible voters in the state, which is also one of the highest voter participation rates in state history. About 30,000 fewer people voted in the Senate race between Senator Tammy Baldwin, who won re-election, and her Republican challenger Eric Hovde. The final official numbers will be released on December 1st. Superior residents voted to approve a referendum allowing the school district to exceed its revenue limits for the next 5 years. The referendum asked Superior residents to pay extra in property taxes for the next 5 years to prevent the district from having to make further cuts. The district has been forced to permanently close the school and lay off over 50 staff members in the last year due to their budget issues. The referendum approves a sliding scale of increases, starting at $2.5 million for the next 2 years and $5.5 million in the final year. The Duluth Police Department is searching for a suspect they say was involved in two violent home invasions in the area. According to law enforcement authorities, the first incident happened on Monday in the Chester Park neighborhood. The second happened on Tuesday in the Congdon neighborhood, just a few miles away. Authorities say they don't have many details about the suspect, except that he is a white man. Duluth Police Chief Mike Sanua says three people were sent to the hospital with minor injuries after the suspect entered their homes. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Utah Jazz. Is there a growing frustration? Chris Middleton is still not ready to play following ankle surgery this summer. Head coach Doc Rivers.
No. I mean, obviously we want Chris to play, but Chris is doing all the work. He's working his butt off. That's all. You know, as a coach, that's all you can ask for. So there's no frustration like in him. And there's nothing you can do about it.
College hoops, the Badgers men's team at home tonight at the Kohl Center against the Montana State Bobcats. NFL, the Packers had the bye week. The coaching staff reviewing the loss to the Lions. Matt LaFleur frustrated. He had to use up some timeouts early in that game.
There were a couple situations, like I was upset that I had to burn a timeout on a short yardage call that obviously got stuffed. Credit to Detroit. They did a few things that kind of kept us a little bit off balance. To me, it always starts with a plan and trusting your plan. And so you got to make sure your plan is a better plan.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Clouds are going to hang around for a little while this morning, but it should be partly cloudy by late morning and then mostly sunny and a bit breezy this afternoon. Our high today, 46. Tonight, clear 31. Tomorrow, sunshine 53. Saturday, afternoon showers with a high of 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the news staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, what comes next? Former U.S. Attorney James Santel will join me. We'll talk about the fraud sentencing, the J6 trial, the Georgia case, plus the documents case. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to The Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't see.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you're just joining us, Sandy and I, kind of covering some things, and we began the show talking about what Democrats need to do to rebrand themselves and some other things. But our phone lines are full, as always, and so we're going to go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Ann. Good morning to you, Ann. Thank you very much for calling. You say what?
Hi. I'm a retired educator, and there's always a consequence to what you do in life. And these people that voted for Trump are going to have a consequence, and that's called Project 2025. So if CJ is acting like people are calling him names and saying all these hateful things to him, when that's all the Trumpism is hate. They wear shirts that say, "Our government sucks." Well, geez, now maybe some of us Democrats can borrow those shirts from them. I just get so tired of it because they're going to get exactly what they wanted, their tariffs, racialness, slurs, all the stuff that they promoted. And all these weak white women that couldn't stand up for us, I hope they get exactly what they voted for. They have daughters. Shame on them. That's just the way I feel.
And where are you from?
I'm from Chippewa Falls.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what? Brendan. All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Thanks for taking my call, Earl and Sandy. I've been on hold for 58 minutes. I'm excited to talk to you because while you've been telling us Joe Biden's such a great president and Kamala was such a great candidate, there's now 10,000 Korean troops fighting with Russia in Ukraine against Ukraine. So now that Kamala's got all kinds of time on her hands, maybe she can start doing the things that she said she was going to do for the last three
years. Hey, CJ, let me ask you something. So it's Kamala Harris's fault that 10,000 North Korean troops are fighting on the side of Ukraine, Russia. Explain how that happens and explain how that's her fault. You spewed it. How's it her fault?
Last one in the room with President Biden. Can I finish?
No. Respond to what I just said. No. If you want to continue, respond to the statement you just made and back that up with facts.
because she's supporting her president by voting with him, telling him, advising him, yes, she is partially responsible for the 13 soldiers that died in it.
All right, enough of that. Let's go to Julie from Jackson. Good morning to you, Julie. You say what?
Good morning. I just wanted to tell you guys that, you know, I've enjoyed listening to you, and I actually started listening about 2 years ago because I kind of wanted to see if my mind could be swayed from my lifetime of Republican, you know, backing Republican and what I believed in. And it didn't sway me, but I've enjoyed the conversations we've had. I'm not going to listen anymore because it's just too bad. I can hear the angst in your guys' voices that when Tom called today, I feel really bad for Tom. He just sounded so distraught. And there's so much more in our lives that we have to be thankful for. And I don't know. I just.
Hey, Julie, my response to you would be this. Had Donald Trump lost, you would be having a different refrain. I've listened to you. We appreciate you joining the show. But clearly, you know, your response today is from the perspective of somebody who, you know, clearly, as you stated, is a Republican person. On Sandy and my show, we do something that Republican radio doesn't do, and that's to allow the other side to have a conversation. You know, so when you talk about, you know, how things seem to have, you know, gone from the perspective of those of us on this side of the aisle, I think we do something that conservative radio has never done and will never do, and that's to offer people on the other side an opportunity to have a conversation.
Well, and also, I don't quite understand tuning out because I think the show is about more than politics, hopefully. And while the election season has saddled us with the opportunity and sort of the obligation to talk about it 24/7, that isn't going to be the case going forward. But there's going to be policies to talk about and things to agree with and disagree with. You know, I disagreed with the Biden administration on their Ukrainian policy at the beginning of the and prior to the invasion by Russia into Ukraine, and have continued to be skeptical of our foreign policies. And so that we aren't just negative about administrations, whether based on their party label. And, you know, it could be that Donald Trump will propose things that are worthy of applause. But we have to wait and see, right? We have to find out. But there's more for the public to talk about than Donald Trump as president, than simply a critique from a radio show that would take only a negative posture. And so that hasn't been the way we've operated. We didn't operate that way from 2016 to 2020.
Earl, why is it that you think you know how I would act if Trump lost? I actually thought Trump was going to lose.
Well, because, you know, I can only go by what the conversations you and I have had. Okay? And you know, you clearly stated basically that, you know, we talked about Donald Trump in a negative sense, and you were there to defend him at every turn, which you have a right to. But when we would point things out, it bothered you about it. And so anyway, it's neither here nor there. You know, we thank you very much. We hope that you'll continue to listen. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Jean from McClare. Good morning to you, Jean. You say what?
Oh, good morning, guys. Yeah, it's a very sad day in America, and I agree with Tom 100% because all of the propaganda that I got at my house, and I'm in a rural area, was from the AFP Action, the Americans for Prosperity. Every filthy ad that I saw nonstop, because I don't have cable, was from the Americans for Prosperity lying about the candidates. And I know they were lying because I've been doing the research. I've been watching for a long time, following Alec, following Walker, following the big money that put a lot of money and lies and propaganda in the state of Wisconsin, got the people in, wrote their laws, and I thought, this is so odd. So then I started checking out other states, because there were times when Scott Walker was in office when people didn't even know who wrote the bill. And here they were going down to meetings with Alec. And it's like, whoa, this ain't good. So then I looked up North Carolina. Same thing there. Iowa, Ohio, same thing there. And this is what is running our country. They're letting Trump lead for a while, folks. I hope you pay real good attention to your role model there, the guy who puts his name on the Bible. And I'm saying this honestly because I am not a member of a party. I have never been, and I've been an equal opportunity critic. But I have never seen anything like this in my life. We finally got a little bit of handle on Wisconsin, but it went nationwide. How did it go nationwide? The Green Bay Sweep. Woo! Yeah, the Green Bay Sweep.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Charles from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Charles.
Hey, good morning, guys. So a couple of quick points for Gary and Julie. I wonder, Julie, if maybe Tom could be upset because he's a gay man and the bashing against the LGBTQ community throughout this, the Hope running for president has an effect on him as well as other people. So he has probably a right to be upset. For Gary, the whole thing with Hitler didn't come up until it was reported that J.D. Vance, outside of other horrible things he said about Donald Trump, was the one that started the thing saying that he was America's Hitler. And when you guys started off the show talking about the 15 million people that didn't vote, I also wonder if part of that could be, as well as voter suppression, purging people off the rolls, this added that people
became frustrated,
don't want to see a woman president.
Yes.
In the United States yet. Because I know when Barack Obama won, my mom's aunt, who lives in the South, she's older, and first thing came out of her mouth was, he's a black man. What does he know about being a president? And so I wonder if this whole thing of, well, we can't elect a woman because she can't do the job. Those are just my points for today.
They're great points, Charles. Sandy, you quickly before you mentioned that maybe still in this nation, having a woman, seeing a woman in it.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that the failure of a couple of women candidates who have, you know, who
good
ran
candidates,
very capable candidates, and the failure of this one in particular surprised me a bit, and I think it might have had to do with an unwillingness on the part of America.
All right, 855-752-4842. Hang on. We'll be right back. Like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. This is my fight song. Take back my life.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is a community reminder from Buzz of the North. There's a free kids movie each Thursday at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library located right in Hayward, and that happens Thursday from 10:30 a.m. until 12:30, and this is a weekly event, happens each Thursday. Again, a kids movie at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library in Hayward each Thursday from 10:30 until 12:30. Community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I was taught to fight, taught to win. I never thought I could fail. No fight left, or so it seems. I am a man whose dreams have all deserted. I've changed my face, I've changed my name. But no one wants you when you lose.
Don't give up, 'cause you have friends. Don't give up, you're not beaten yet.
Don't give up. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You know, it's Thursday, and my co-host Sandy, we're Sandy, who's that music?
That's Peter Gabriel's album, but that was Sting. It was the male singer. It, Don't Give Up, was the, which was the message I was intending with respect to the song.
You know, I want to say that you and I had a lot of things we wanted to talk about this morning. We haven't been able to get into all of those different things. They were all germane to the election and the outcome, but we're going to do what the callers want us to do, and we're going to stick with the conversation that we're having. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. Thank you. You say what?
Good morning, and once again, a really fine show. I was very offended by Gary, who said, "I told you so." We never, ever, ever said that about his party. But I think that that is something we might resurrect in the future. Because if Donald Trump is going to put more money in the pocket, fine, I want to see that. I want to see the wall go up. I want to see the deportation. I want to see the everything that he promised, he's better produced in these next 4 years. And if he doesn't, Gary, and I hope you're listening, because then Earl doesn't have to say that, because he's a fine gentleman and he would never say that. But I'm not. And I will say, I told you so, Gary. And to see, I'm going to cover you, Earl. And I can't even wrap my mind around the fact that Donald Trump has called every woman every filthy, dirty name in the book. And he has let people call the people of Puerto Rico garbage.
Yes.
And Haitian people are eating cats. And yet he's offended that he called him a fascist and a Nazi. Get over it, Gary. This is, put your big boy pants on and be a man.
Susan, thank you very much. You're my hero. I love Susan. Welcome back. Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. And I enjoyed listening to Susan, who spoke just ahead of me. And, you know, I would like to make a point that I was not going to talk about, but Susan just reminded me. You know, she made the statement about how at the Madison Square Garden rally event, one of the speakers made some very disparaging remarks about Puerto Ricans. And as I was listening to many people on the television, reading news reports about it, as a Black female, I was not offended by it because the spaces that I walk through in my everyday life, I have to deal with those kinds of microaggressions every day. I must do business with people who I know do not approve of me or who do not feel that I belong in the social places that I travel in. And so I would just like to say this particularly to whites who want to point out, Trump is a racist, he's a sexist, he's all of those isms. Those of us who are members of that particular group, this is our everyday experience, and we have to conduct transactions with these people. Now, what I called about was the 14 million missing votes in the Kamala Harris campaign. And the Democratic Party, they need to run across tabs and locate some of those people because they could find them who voted this election cycle and who did not vote, and get some answers on why did these people sit out. Now, I know in the Black community, there was what was called the couch movement. There were some people, they could not vote for the Democratic Party, and they really couldn't bring themselves to vote for Trump, so they chose the couch. Were these the couch sitters, or were these people who just did not want to vote? I don't have the answers, but if the party is going to recover, they need to find out why 14 million people walked away. So that's all I have, and you guys...
Hey, Cassandra, well said. Very well said, all of it. Sandy?
No, absolutely. I mean, there's got to be lessons learned evaluation here. And, you know, ultimately, the American political process is about representing the people and what the people are interested in. I mean, it also involves leadership and helping the people understand what they maybe should be interested in. But going out and finding out what the people are thinking and what the people are motivated by or weren't motivated by is a very important part of the democratic process. And the Democrats would be foolhardy if they didn't carry out a heavy duty due diligence to find out what happened.
You know, she was on point with everything she said, as many of our callers have been. So, guys, hang on. 855-752-4842. It's the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has officially won a third term in Washington. Senator Baldwin declared victory early Wednesday, while results showed she had a lead of less than 1%, which could lead to a recount. After the race was called by the Associated Press, Republican challenger Eric Hovde did not concede or say if he would be requesting a recount within the 1% margin. In narrowly winning re-election, Senator Baldwin kept a critical Senate seat for Democrats, while former President Trump won the state. Wisconsin residents voted to pass a constitutional amendment stating that only United States citizens can vote in elections. The amendment slightly changes the language used in current law, making it only a United States citizen instead of every United States citizen. Republicans across the country have pushed similar measures to prevent non-citizens from voting, which is already illegal. A handful of municipalities across the country allow non-citizens to vote in some local elections, like a school board. None are in Wisconsin. A Superior man has been arrested in connection to multiple attempted carjackings, one of which involved a young child. According to law enforcement authorities, 37-year-old Michael Thompson is accused of attacking the owner of a car in the Tower Avenue and North 28th Street area last week and trying to take their keys with their child in the car. Officials say two bystanders saw the incident and stepped in until police arrived. Thompson was treated for injuries he sustained during the incident and was taken to jail. He's due in court next week. The city of Ashland will finally receive state funding for a boat launch project after applying for the program multiple times. After the city and other municipalities' applications were rejected for the program, Governor Tony Evers sued lawmakers to force the release of the funding. When the state Supreme Court ruled efforts to block the conservation projects were unconstitutional, Ashland applied again and received about $1 million from the Department of Natural Resources to construct an ADA-compliant deep-water boat launch at Crerar Park. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. According to Yahoo News, Michael Jackson got into a fight with Tupac Shakur when he came to the defense of Khadijah Jones, daughter of recently deceased music icon Quincy Jones. Sources say Jackson was present when Tupac, who was dating Khadijah, called her the B-word. Jackson, who was like an uncle to Khadijah, had words with Tupac, then the two squared off, and supposedly Jackson got the better of him. It's unclear whether or not it was a dance-off. During an interview on Conan O'Brien's podcast, beloved actor Tom Hanks dropped one of George Carlin's seven words you can't say on TV. Hanks used the fifth word in the seven-word sequence, well worth a Google, when referring to a critic who panned his new film, Here. Hanks added that the same critic panned his directorial debut years ago, That Thing You Do, and just a few months ago called it a cult classic. Hanks did have a lighthearted tone when he dropped the CS bomb to Conan and said, "That's what we signed up for." For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Clouds are going to hang around for a little while this morning, but it should be partly cloudy by late morning and then mostly sunny and a bit breezy this afternoon. Our high today, 46. Tonight, clear, 31. Tomorrow, sunshine, 53. Saturday, afternoon showers with a high of 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, "I don't do politics, Mr. Santa. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns." I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Political consultant Joe Zepecki joins us. And we wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Stay.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Robert from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Robert. You say what, sir?
Good morning. I just want to make 2 points. One is systems and structures. Donald Trump should have never even been allowed to run in this election. You know, we saw failures at every level of government, from McConnell not letting his members that wanted to impeach him the second time for his activities in January 6th, to Merrick Garland, to Josh Call, to Dana Nessel in Michigan. I mean, the list goes on and on to all these judges that let him delay. This guy should have been in a jail cell, not running for president. But putting that aside, if we look at the election, I just want to talk about demographics real quick. I thought it was laughable when they were talking about, well, the black male vote is down. And it's like the black male vote has been, you know, 80%+ for years. The real issue with this election was white women. It was the same as in 16. 52% of them voted for Donald Trump. It's been about 52% this time as well. So that was a piece. And then the other big piece that people need to realize is the groups that traditionally turn out for the Democratic Party, they've changed. We can't count on baby boomers anymore. The bigger group is the millennials and the Gen Zs. I'm actually going to a third funeral this year. It's my second aunt, my mom. They're all baby boomers. That can't be where the vote is. So when they talk about this bro vote, the party needs to understand that, whether it's the men's right agreement or MGTOW, men going their own way. You have a whole segment of the population called passport bros. So the divide between women and men is getting wider in this country. It's not getting closer. So if women really want to see a woman in the White House who's competent running the country, they need to come out and vote for her. It's women not supporting women. And that's like the ugly truth no one wants to talk about in the country.
Robert, man, all of our callers, Sandy, have been added, brought something of value to the conversation. And Robert, Sandy and I are baby boomers. I agree with you. That whole thing about baby boomers, you know, and our numbers are dwindling.
Well, I just think the Democratic Party has a serious, I mean, to say messaging sounds like it's PR only, but focus and messaging problem that they need to address, and they need to make sure that what they focus upon and what they articulate and message is appealing to a broad array of people that transcend gender and age and also geography. We can't be an urban party. We can't be simply a party of color. We can't, you know, there's all these things that the Democratic Party has to be concerned about in terms of having a broad appeal and making sure that they're providing value to a broader range of people, and by that I mean Tom, Dick, and Mary, primarily the party, the people in this country who feel the pinch, which are working people, people who live paycheck to paycheck.
A texter asked, "What about voter suppression? Why are we forgetting voter suppression is real?"
Well, it needs to be quantified. We need to figure out the extent to which people of the 14 or 15 million people who didn't vote, how many of them didn't vote because it was made more difficult for them to vote and they were suppressed. I mean, that's another matter of inquiry, but we shouldn't speculate about it. There's no question that strategically the party that was victorious, part of their strategy has been to squelch votes. And so the vote was apparently reduced, and the question is, was it squelched?
Very well said again. Let's go to Troy from Mount Hope. Good morning to you, Troy. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, I called up because of Julie's call, you know, and she mentioned the angst in Tom's voice. You know, I've said before on this show, I'm just a straight white guy. A lot of Trump's policies aren't going to come after me. But I don't blame Tom for having angst in his voice either, because, hell, they're coming after him, and blacks they're coming after, and Latinos they're coming after. So I can't imagine somebody, and women, and I can't imagine somebody saying to a guy like Tom, why do you have angst in your voice, when they're going to be coming after him.
Hey, Troy, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Don. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl, Sandy. Yeah, I just wanted a little quick response to this. Julie, she said that she wasn't going to listen to your show anymore. I think that's what I heard. Well, I enjoy your show. I enjoy both of you fellas. And you, right now, at a time like this, you are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys. And number two, you know, you guys just uplift me in a lot of different ways. I don't know what I'd do without you guys. That's all.
Hey, Don.
Thank you.
Let me say this to you, man. You know, I enjoy you. We enjoy you as well, as we do all of our callers. You know, that's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. And we're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard. Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Really quickly, you know, when you say the vote is squelched, I am not sure what you're...
No, I didn't. No, actually, David, I didn't say the vote was squelched. The caller called in and said they thought that we should be talking about voter suppression. And my answer was, well, we need to do a factual inquiry to find out whether there were voters who felt suppressed or squelched. I didn't assert that there was. There simply was, however, factually, a significant reduction in the number of people voting. And there is no question that the Republican Party's part of their strategy, their announced strategy, is to make voting more complicated and more difficult.
So my question to you, Sandy, is all 50 states, she underperformed in all 50 states, Democrat and Republican.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that it was the result of suppression. I simply responded by saying there needs to be a factual inquiry to find out how much, if any, of the 15 million people who didn't vote might have felt suppressed. But there's no question in my mind that there are some people for whom voting has been made more difficult who probably didn't vote. I don't know how many they are, and I don't know how much they accounted for. But I think the Democratic Party needs to do an analysis to figure out why the results were as they were, as you want to describe them, in all 50 states.
Well, at the end of the day, I feel that if you look at the amount of people that actually switched over, the Democratic Party lost a good chunk of the Hispanic votes. And they made huge inroads, the African-American vote. There was a good chunk that actually went Republican.
Yeah. No,
and
there's there,
when,
you're
people,
right.
When
yep.
People, I mean, so, and I know that in the past, there was, Earl, you made a mockery of people that said, there can't be that many that are going to do that. You know, at the end of the day, now that you see the result, you may have to have a, you know, reconcile as to, okay, well, how did that happen? Why did that happen? Because it did happen.
Well, so let me say this to you, David. As an African-American man, the majority of the black vote overwhelmingly went against Donald Trump and Republicans. And yes, there are clearly some African-Americans, mainly what I understand, who supported Donald Trump, religious people, and they believe that abortion is wrong. And so that's why the numbers of blacks who voted more for Donald Trump was not single black males because they're against the Democratic Party. It was an organized effort of black religious leaders who were opposed to abortion. That's just a fact.
The other fact is that the majority of African-Americans that did vote for Trump were younger voters. So the older voters...
No. You know, you can't back that up. I know for a fact that the what I was able to garner in the churches and in the conversations I've had with people in the know, it wasn't that they were younger voters, because younger black males don't vote in overwhelming numbers. It was the clergy. It was the black church. And it was the fact that in many instances they're opposed to, just to be frank with you, homosexuality and abortion. So that's where the numbers came from, Dave.
Well, I'm telling you, I read the New York Times.
I don't care what the New York Times says.
I read the demographics as to what that result was. Older African Americans still were like over 90% for Harris, but the younger generation, they were not. It was not as nearly as lopsided, I guess. I'm not disagreeing with you that the majority are still doing what have you, but it's the numbers are changing.
Okay, so let's do this. Calvin has the stats. Calvin, if you please.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so Trump, black men voting for Trump, Donald Trump gained 1%. He went from 19% of black men voted for him in 2020, 20% voted for him in 2024. For black women, 9% voted for Trump in 2020. That fell to 7% in 2024. So I'm not denying that a demographic shift happened, but it didn't happen in the black community.
Well, where did you get your source from, I guess, is my question.
This is from the local NBC Washington. It's not like, I guess I don't understand why, how that is relevant.
Well, I mean, it's a very quick return on stats, and I'm not sure that the dust has settled enough to actually have accurate stats. This is all based, I would guess, on exit polling that was done by a variety of different groups. NBC did exit polling, and New York Times probably did as well. But there is no database that would give this information on November 7th.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So we needn't argue about because what we'll be arguing about is all different kinds of polling data. But there's no question Trump won the election. And there were some demographic groups that leaned more in his direction than have leaned in his direction in the past. And it has to be examined and understood.
Well, like I said, the polls were, again, you know, they were woefully incorrect once again.
On both sides.
Well, actually, I'm not sure how woefully incorrect they were, because they all operated within the margin of error in their reporting.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842. We're still here.
Man, that will stand my ground. And I won't back down.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today I'm going to share a story about me and my money. This starts in my 20s, when I was what I will call an avoider. I was an avoider because I just felt like I was bad at money. You know, I didn't want to think about money. I didn't want to do anything with money except make it and spend it and close my eyes and pray that the rent check would cash. I spent a few years beating myself up about not paying attention to my money until I started having a very short money meeting with myself every month. And those meetings taught me that with a little bit of effort, I could be on top of my money. I could know when it was coming, and I could know where it was going, and eventually, I was able to make plans for it. So if you're stuck in the avoider trap, hey, I know what it's like. Invite yourself to a money meeting. I promise you it'll pay off. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-855-752-4842. Let me read this text, and then we'll get right back. It wasn't the black church. She was in the black church. Black men want to make money, and it's number one, immigration, number two, prison reform, 45, let brothers out of jail, and three, and black men are feeling like Dems are elevating women over them. Don't read traditional media. Get into podcasts and YouTube channels, and you see where all black men trending towards wanting to be more masculine. Okay, let's go to Mike from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Morning, Earl, Sandy. My question's for Sandy, I think. In 64, I was in the service. I had to take an oath to the Constitution. Is he required to take an oath to the Constitution? And if he does, can he overturn the damn thing?
Well, yeah, the presidential oath is to uphold the Constitution. In fact, I think all federal officers are required, including in the military, are required to take that same oath. And I think those people who scratched their head about the January 6th insurrection scratched their head because it appeared that Donald Trump at that point was operating in a quite a contrary direction. But in terms of the notion of him suspending the Constitution, I mean, you can't do anything in the office of the president that isn't permissible under U.S. law. The only time I'm aware of that constitutional rights get suspended is what could be a time of martial law, when certain individual rights can be suspended, and we'll be watching carefully. I hope our military is very concerned and careful about whether they would honor an order that would be the imposition of martial law.
Thank you, Mike. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. You say what, sir?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I was just wondering if I missed the memo stating it perfectly fine to intentionally mispronounce Vice President Harris's name. How is this not childish behavior? And have they no shame? And honestly, normally Robert's pretty cool, but 60% of white men chose the GOP nominee, at least. And he's throwing white women under the bus? I mean, these folks, a lot of your callers want to blame anybody but white men today. Like Calvin had said earlier, you know, black voters move by 1%. White men in a much larger block move more. And like Dr. Craig said yesterday, Vice President Harris was burdened by the Biden presidency, Gaza, inflation, or the promise to elevate marginalized communities, which terrifies we, the white people. And without
placing blame. She was obviously unable or unwilling to get away from that. As for efforts, you know, suppression efforts, I'd like to ask your callers, what Democratic state leader has been aggressively removing voters from their state rolls? And regarding your conservative callers or regressive callers, no surprise to me that Gary, CJ, and the other ones are now being sore winners and gloating, because that's what these folks are at the core. And I'll close by saying, I also want to say that I always suspected that Julie, allegedly from Jackson, was a plant of some kind. And today's Goodbye World call only reaffirms this.
Thank you, Barry. Well, much, you know, for the call.
One thing we did want to talk about at the beginning of this that we didn't was the fact that right now we have in being demonstrated a difference between the two, the way the two parties, or at least the way the two candidates, have treated transition, okay? Because when Donald Trump was defeated, there was no invitation to his successor to come to the White House. There was no peaceful transition whatsoever. There was no cooperation in the process. And what we have now is, number one, no lawsuits being brought by Democrats to try and upset the election, number one. Number two, we have Kamala Harris already congratulating her opponent. And Joe Biden has already invited him to the White House, and they've already talked about peaceful succession. So I just think that the role model here is pretty clear, and the difference also is quite apparent.
Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy.
Good morning. Well, I just wanted to let you in on a little something I learned from, I'll call him Joe, that I met at a fundraising event about a month ago, who worked with the Defense Department for many decades. And he told me that if Trump initiates a tariff against China, China is going to retaliate against us and hold back all the chips. And I'm not talking potato chips. I'm talking the chips that make our electronics, our appliances, our workout equipment, our Fitbits, our automobiles. They're going to retaliate, hold those chips back from us, and our economy is going to fall to its knees literally overnight.
Hey, Cindy, thank you very much for the call. Jim from Eden. Good morning to you, Jim. You say what?
Yes, good morning, Earl. Yep, thank you. Just want to say I believe that those who dislike Trump are the reason why Trump won on Tuesday. Back in 2022, was not the favorite, and DeSantis was, you know, really started out strong. But because all the attacks started on Trump at that time, it's changed, and Trump became the leader. And it was because of hatred that was towards Trump.
Hey, Jim, thank you. Thank everybody who made the show go. I mean, we could not do this without you. You know, we're coming here Monday through Friday, and you, the listening audience, we give you your say. It's not about Sandy and I, it's about you. So, you know, keep on doing what you're doing. We're going to keep on giving you the opportunity. Up next, Jane Mattenair on air along with Greg Bach. Enjoy the weather. See you guys on tomorrow.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media's own Stuart J. Waddles, who we'll talk movies with, and he'll help make our popcorn pick of the week. Then Milwaukee.
And good morning, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh here at Civic Media News Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. We interrupt this programming for a special report, a special broadcast, as we are going to cover the remarks from President Joe Biden as he addresses the nation on results of the election and also on the transition from himself to the president-elect Donald Trump, who will become the 47th president in January. Again, for those listening and expecting to start with Jane Mattenair soon, you can find her on the streaming platforms of X and what is now, well, it used to be Twitter, now they call it X, and also on our Facebook, and
different platforms, YouTube as well. You can go to Civic Media on those platforms, and Jane is going to continue to do her show from 10 o'clock onward. And you can also get some updates.